Okay, so you want to be a good parent. You want to be calm and patient and all the things. But you also need them to stop banging that truck on the table or you're going to put your fist through the wall. Am I right? Just speaking from experience. We get it, and we're here to help. We believe that you can do this, whether you have a baby, a second grader, a high schooler, or beyond. Today, we're talking about practical tips to change your child's behavior. Okay, let me give you some rapid fire, maybe common behaviors that us as parents with varying age ranges may experience with our kids. And I want you, my lovely friends who are so experienced in this and who have been practicing this for a few years now, I want you to tell me what you would tell a kid to combat these behaviors. What truths would you give them? Ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a son who is constantly picking fights at school.
I have a grandson that was having trouble being aggressive at school. So we actually got the Paw Patrol characters, and we talked about, I can't remember, this was years ago, but like the policeman. Police rescue people. You're a rescuer. Ambulance drivers care for people. You care for other people, and would go through that and then say, your hands, you're kind, and your hands can help other people. One thing I started out by doing, you have gentle hands. What little boy wants to have gentle hands? Nobody wants to have gentle hands.
One.
So
right.
That's why we went into the, you're the rescuer, you care for people, you like a policeman, you protect people. And he actually started saying that I care for people, I protect people, and I rescue people.
So you used something common that you used Paw Patrol. So you could find a TV show or a book or characters or something in culture that your kid does appreciate that has some good value there, and you could draw some parallels for your kid of how you could be like that character, like that person.
Well, yeah, and it's got to be based on truth.
Right.
If this kid isn't naturally a protector, that would not be the thing to say. Mm. And I think it's, you know, we all work in a job, and in the workplace, we're always talking about building on people's strengths. Mm-hmm. So let's do that with our kids too, because I know as a mom, so often I'm not building on their strengths. I'm trying to cut off their behaviors that I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So really find what they're really great at and continue to affirm them in that.
Yes.
Great. Okay, another scenario. I have a little girl who won't stop talking back. What do I do with that one?
Wow. I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that question.
Are you experiencing
yes, you
that
are.
In your
when
home,
my, when my daughter talks back, I just, no. I think that's a really good one. And, I mean, again, what I would say is let's lean into the fact that, huh, you're talking back. Are there questions you have? Are you curious? Do you want to learn? I see you want to learn some things. But let's talk about what's the right way to ask those questions and when's the right time to ask those questions. So when I tell you to do something, that's not the right time to ask those questions, because daddy is telling you what to do because I know more than you do in this situation and I love you and I'm seeing something you don't see. But maybe you need more than that. Well, you can, in other situations, ask me, why is this the case? There are places to ask those questions. So I guess the thing for me would be, how do I teach obedience in that situation without stifling my daughter's ability to speak out and to speak up? And so I value that. I mean, you know, my 5-year-old actually does do that. So it's like, that's a great question, Isabel. That's a great question. And you know what? Daddy's going to need you to do this. And then later I will tell you about why I did this. And I think it's okay to do that, to tell the child, like, hey, I need you to be obedient in this one. And I'm going to explain it to you when I feel like it's the right time to explain it.
Yep. Go ahead, Kim.
I think what you were talking about was disrespect. And sometimes just having phrases that we use to call back some training that we maybe already done. So respect is a harder word. You'd have to spend more time training a little kid on what respect looks like. But I think if, Chuck, you were talking about obeying, maybe it's listen and obey. Mm-hmm. And you actually have some fun with them where they're playing. You go, okay, we're going to practice listen and obey. And they might be playing with your toys and you might say, go sit on the couch and put your hand on your head. And then they do, and they go, way to listen and obey. Mm. And then you keep doing it with them. So then when you're at the grocery store and they're running away from you, you can say, come back to me, listen and obey.
Yeah.
And having that short little phrase that then brings back paragraphs of training, because I have found that sometimes I use way too many words with my kids, especially when they are little.
Mm.
They don't have the capacity to comprehend all the words that
right.
I'm throwing at them.
Well, I love that. Listen and obey. I had never thought do that in some fun scenarios so that there's not negative connotations with those words. I think so often words like listen, obey, I don't know. Help me with what are some other ones like that?
Come back, stop.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, some of those we only say in response to a negative behavior, and we have to use those in positive situations. Maybe make up positive situations.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that our kids don't only hear us using those words to reprimand, but actually just as a way of life that they can trust.
I had a kid who was a runner. I don't know if Chuck, any of your kids are runners. And that's a problem, especially when you have other kids. And so we used to, on the street, I'd have him run, and I'd go, stop! It got to be such a fun game, and it worked.
Yeah.
Because then we were in Target, and I'm laying on the floor because I can't, and I'm looking for his feet. You know that strategy,
right.
Don't you? When you can't find him, you lay on the floor and look for the feet. I would yell, stop.
Pro tip for those of you at home that haven't done that yet.
If I see you on the floor at Target, I will join you.
Yeah.
Just tell me what shoes they have on. but I would yell, stop, and he would do it because he had learned what stop means.
That's great. Okay, a few more scenarios. Let's say I have a teenage daughter who is constantly choosing to present herself in a way that I don't find respectable, particularly in the way that she looks and dresses. I don't like that behavior. What do I do about that?
I think one of the biggest things we can do as a parent is be curious. And I've had my situation with my daughter was exactly opposite. She didn't wear any makeup. She wore sweatpants all the time and always had her hair in a ponytail. She always looked like she just rolled out of bed. I spent so much time talking to her about the way she dressed, which was not helpful at all.
Hmm. Saying you wanted her to look more presentable.
Yes, yes. I think in this situation, because that happens a lot with parents, where the kids are dressing really, I think you're talking provocatively.
Yeah, I use the provocative example. I mean, I guess you could spin this any way, though, in a way that I don't agree with. They're presenting themselves to be something that I don't believe they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think it's deciding, is it really that important? With my daughter, I realized it wasn't. So what if she wears sweatpants and has her hair in a ponytail all the time? In another case, if they're dressed in such a way that you might think would attract attention that you wouldn't want her to get, then be curious as to why that might be happening. You know, talk to her about what's going on at school. Who is she hanging around with? And so often, as we build our relationships with our kids, it gives us a better platform to even talk to them and advise them on how to dress.
What's some of the truth that you would give to a daughter who you wanted to respect herself and her behaviors were saying something different?
I'll speak to that from a father's perspective, because I definitely think about that with my daughter right now. And one of the things that, to use Kim's analogy, I want to establish at the root level with my 5-year-old before she's, 15 and we're
right.
having that conversation, is that her beauty, I love the scripture, I think it's in 1st or 2nd Peter, it says your beauty shouldn't be based merely on outward appearance, but also on inward qualities. And I really try very much to make sure that my praise of my daughter is not just based on her external looks.
Yes.
She loves to dress up in dresses. She loves to be in princess dresses. And whenever she puts a dress on, she twirls for me. And I know that that's a sweet thing and it's a beautiful thing. And I also want to make sure she knows that her value and her beauty to me is not just based on her being in a dress.
Right.
That her beauty is in her brain. Her beauty is in how she thinks things through. Her beauty is in her talents. Her beauty is in her willingness to get in and wrestle with her brothers. I want to make sure she knows that. And for me, that feels like a place to lay a foundation so that when we're 15, we can talk about, in a curious way, what do you think this is communicating? What is it in you that wants to dress this way? And if it's, I want to be noticed, I want to be treasured, then I can go back to, I just want you to know, you're treasured and you're beautiful in 8 different ways.
Right.
Not just the way you dress and walk out of the house.
Yep. That's great. Okay. Last one. What if I have a kid who just doesn't seem to be motivated or trying at school? They're not giving their best. And I don't like that behavior.
I think just like Chuck just said, it's not focusing on the grades. It's focusing on who the kid is and be curious. It's also helping them get past just passing this class, but talk to them about what their dreams are and what their aspirations are. And so often, the dreams and aspirations that they might have require that they graduate from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk about, hey, I think that is a great dream too. And you know what? In order to do that, you're going to have to do your third grade homework. So let's do it together. And they might have, I mean, I had a kid who really struggled in school and I thought wasn't applying himself. And actually, there were some once we got curious instead of furious, because I was super ticked off.
Oh, that's good. Curious, not furious.
Yeah. Because according
that's
to...
That's tweetable.
Tweetable.
Yeah.
Because according to his standardized testing, he should be doing great. And he wasn't. We were getting lots of notes from the teachers. So once we really sat down and talked to him, we were seeing that his lack of motivation wasn't coming from laziness. It was coming from something else.
Mm.
But just so often as parents, I think it's because that behavior is right in our face. So that's what we continue to address. And if you look at, if we go back to the tree analogy, if you start pruning branches, which trying to cut off that behavior, all you're doing is promoting more of that growth.
Mm.
And we don't want to promote more of it.
Yeah.
But I think helping them dream, and another thing with helping them dream, we as adults are the worst dreamers. And we squash our kids' dreams. You know, they say that they want to be, an astronaut at NASA. Mm-hmm. At NASA. We're like, oh, but you're going to have to take a lot of science classes, and you're not very good at science, or you're not. It's not the actual accomplishing of the dream that we're trying to do as parents. We're trying to have them give them a dream so that they can aspire to do something which will give them some incentive to do their third grade math homework.
Yeah. Mm. That's great.
Yeah. I also think for a child that's struggling in school, and if you're thinking about struggling versus not being motivated, I think to Kim's point, curiosity if they're struggling, right, to understand.
Right.
If it's a motivation thing, I think this is one of those where it's okay to say, I have expectations of you. I know in my life, people who have cared enough about me to say, I expect you to do these things, that I've risen to those often. And particularly when you say it this way to your child, and we try to do this with our kids, I do not expect you to get an A in any class. I expect you to follow through and do your homework. I expect you to do your best at this project. I expect you to be thoughtful about the work that you're doing. And if you do that and you get a C, I'm good with your C.
Yeah.
So I want you to know what I value in your education is the process of your learning.
Yeah.
And you prioritizing your learning. It's going to have a different outcome. Some kids, it's going to come easy to them and they're going to do less work and get higher grades. Other kids are going to do a whole bunch more work and they're going to get lower grades. And for me, with education specifically, I have expectations of my kids and how they engage in their learning. I don't want to have expectations about the result.
Yeah. That was something my parents always did with us. I was so grateful. I was one of my few friends who did not get in trouble if I didn't get an A. But every time I'd get asked, did you do your best? That was always That's the right. question in our house growing up. And it was about, did we do our best? And there was truth spoken into us at a deeper level about that of, hey, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. My siblings and I know that one by heart because that was a truth that was given to us. And so at the end of the day, if our best meant we weren't the best in the class, but we gave our best. That was what was important, and that was the behavior my parents were trying to get.
I think also in school, it's a great opportunity to teach them. This is not a super popular word right now, but submission to authority.
Yes. Mm.
The teacher is the authority.
Yes.
And if the teacher has worksheets that the teacher's saying the kid is supposed to do, well, then the kid needs to do those worksheets.
But, Kim, they're stupid. I don't need to do these stupid worksheets, Mom. I know this stuff already.
And you know what, Chuck? When you're 25, you might be asked by your boss to do something that you don't think is the best thing to do, and you're going to have to submit and do it. So we're going to start practicing now.
I love it.
Chuck, go to your room and do your worksheet.
I'm doing my worksheet right now.
We're all in this parenting thing together. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, and ideas. So reach out to us all over email at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S. You Can Do This is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.